Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 132 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make that theater happen. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to the podcast from the Apple Podcast app or from iTunes. That way your feed will be automatically updated when we release episodes. But you can also listen to us on many other streaming services such as Stitcher and Google Play. Please rate and review our podcast if you have a spare 30 seconds and help us reach more theater lovers out there around the globe. Now for this week's podcast, as you can hear, I'm outside because we're down in here in Brighton on the little, on the balcony at the place where we work, because we're returning to the open air. That's right, Regent's Park Open Air Theater, one of our favorite places to do one of our curtain call visits. And it was a welcome return for us, not only to see a Jamie Lloyd production, but following the sellout success of Jesus Christ Superstar 2 years ago, another Andrew Lloyd Webber hit show. Now, this is an Evita like you have never seen. More than a concert version, less than a full-blown wardrobe and wig spectacular, it's all story and song. Ava Perón's journey has never been so clear-cut, especially her relationships with revolutionary Che and husband Juan Perón. Now, this is a stripped-back production, but it doesn't hold back at all on the presentation. The choreography is so energetic. The performances that Jamie Lloyd gets out of his actors across the board were off the charts. And I think I can see a life beyond the open-air theater for the show. And I sat down and spoke with the company of Evita, and this week we're going to bring you a couple of episodes because there was so much. First of all, we chatted with Samantha Pauly and Trent Saunders, Evita and Che. Matt and I could have spent another hour chatting with these two lovely, lovely, lovely people. They had so much to offer about their journey to London and what this production means to them. I'd also like to add that we recorded this just before warm-up outside the green room at the Open Air Theater, so you can hear the wind rustling the leaves, the production crew getting things ready. Basically, you'll be dropped right into backstage, which I always, always love to do. Have a listen. A phenomenal production of Evita that is like no other I've seen. I've seen the show twice before. Your normal kind of production, which is Proscenium
yeah.
Arch.
Most of
Evita.
Ava comes home.
There's a white dress.
She gets to Buenos Aires, she's like,
dress,
yeah. yeah. They're soldiers, they're aristocrats, they're dancers.
This
all.
Is completely stripped back. So tell me, when you guys got involved, was that something that was presented to you straight away, or How did you find out?
I feel like, I don't know what conversation you ever had with Jamie, but the first time he told me about it was when I had to do a Skype call back with him, and I don't know if he ever said that it was going to be, like, really stripped back, that it was going to be like this, but he just told me that it was going to be totally different, because I've done the show a couple times before, and he knew that, and so he kept asking me, like, are you sure you want to do this show again, knowing that it's going to be totally different? And I was like, well, yeah, that's like the reason that I'm talking to you. Yeah. And also, I've never been to London. Like, yeah. That's the whole thing. But I didn't know that.
I mean, come on. You thought, oh, like London, this. The Palladium, West End, and you've come to the Open Air Theater. I mean, it's a great.
It's its own entity.
Yeah.
It's a special place. My first thing I think I saw of it was the breakdown. And originally it was saying, like, he wanted, like, the breakdown said Beyoncé at Coachella.
Oh, yeah.
For Ava. And I was like,
yeah, Beyoncé at Coachella.
Oh. And then Che, I think, was like, he wanted some, like, hard, like, dark rocker.
Like, punk rock.
You know, punk rocker. And I was like, oh, okay.
Sure.
I see kind of the kind of gritty realm that you're
did
living
you,
in.
What did you wear? I haven't asked you this.
I walked in just jeans and a denim jacket and boots.
That's it?
Yeah, this was in New York.
Okay.
Went in the first tape that I made, I went to New York and did that with casting, and I can't tell you, I didn't see you that day because I know I would have remembered if I saw you, but there were other guys that I saw going
in for
Che.
People came in.
Oh, dressed so funny.
Oh my God.
Like,
well, when you read the breakdowns, people take the breakdowns and are like, I'm going to dress as Beyoncé.
But I mean, I did. It was like Beyoncé at Coachella. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll wear like some fishnets and ripped jean shorts and like a crop sweatshirt.
Yeah.
That's what I wore.
Yeah. You didn't bring your entourage?
I didn't bring an entourage.
No.
No, but I was like, but I also, I didn't see any other girls that day. I only saw, I was towards the end of the day and I saw a bunch of guys, but I didn't see any other girls. So I had no way to gauge. I was like, do I look so stupid right now? I don't know.
I think that my days, because I did American Idiot, which was the first time I came to London 7 years ago. And I was St. Jimmy for that. And that I like leaned all the way into my punk rocker.
Yeah.
Dark. I had a blonde mohawk. I like walked around with guyliner 24/7. I wore trench coats. People avoided me on the street. You know, I like leaned into that kind of entity.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's like a state of mind that I enter. And I'm like, I'll just put on a jean jacket and not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And that's fine. You can swear. You can swear. You can totally swear.
Oh my God, amazing.
Well, I love you. Just mentioned. I actually, when I'm playing something. If I leave my stage makeup on, I find that I have seats around me on the way home. Just leave. Don't take your stage makeup off. Just keep it.
There is nothing quite like, and I think that's kind of the beauty of what it is that we do. But like when American Idiot was the first time that I changed my appearance to the point that I didn't recognize myself. Like I would look in the mirror, and it took me like a good month and a half to 2 months of just like,
who am I?
Yeah. And when you like break that apart, like when you can actually challenge your own perspective of yourself that greatly, you suddenly realize that your capacity for, we are bound by who we see ourselves as, like constantly. And the beauty of kind of approaching characters and the beauty of what we get to do is push ourselves in that way and see what our capacity is as human beings. Mm. You know, in the grander sense, outside of our personality.
Of course, because we can't judge our characters.
Yeah.
At all, like, or else we're failing when we step on the stage. So you have the empathy you have to show to somebody who you may avoid on the street is balanced.
How liberating for you guys as well, though, like especially here because it's so open and so free. And have you found that process kind of quite liberating in terms of
in terms of just how like you said, how stripped away our version is, I think it's been nice to just kind of like be the character instead of, at least for me, like having done it and being in like this grand costume and this other fancy dress and now I'm changing wigs over here, like to just kind of exist in this one slip as one thing the whole time makes it far and away so much easier to like access who she was as a person and to like let myself have a full breakdown every night and like it, like know that it's okay to like be ugly and messy and like, cause like, whatever.
Well, I think that was one of the things I loved most about this production was that the story came out. How many times have I listened to Evita? You know, how many times do you see clips or whatever? It's the first time I'm going, okay.
Isn't it funny that you like take away the sets, you take away the costumes, you take away the props, you take away all of the things that we would usually attribute to storytelling, and the story is clearer than ever before. It's my favorite thing that people tell me about the production is they get the story.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister saw it, my family saw it on Monday night, and they've seen it every time I've done it, and my sister was like, oh, this is, like, I actually understand it. She was like, I've seen it so many times. And she's like, I guess maybe it's because she's seen it so much, which she mentioned, but she was like, I was able to actually follow the story and what she was doing and their relationship and, you know.
I think it's great. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, I mean, we talk about this. It's how gratifying getting to tell the story is. It's also the hardest thing I think I've ever done in my entire career, bar none. Like,
yeah.
Like, because she and I are out there.
Yeah, let's take it right back. So we walk in as an audience, and you're there, you know?
Yeah.
And the show starts, you know, and Sam, you're there. And I mean, everything, and then you don't leave.
Yeah,
and then
we don't
you
leave
don't
ever.
No.
Leave. I mean, does that take, because, you know, you were taking water when you could, you know, mm-hmm. and things like, do you have to, as an actor, craft-wise, you know, approach it completely differently, or are you having to? Because you guys didn't hold back, and you know the wall of noise that was coming out of both of you, and the physicality of this stripped back. You don't have any costumes doing the job for
yeah.
you. You've got to do it. How did you approach that, and how did Jamie kind of, you know, take you through that?
I feel like the show is still very hard, but compared to other versions, I feel like our version is almost easier because we don't leave and we don't stop moving or doing something, that the show seems to move really quickly. I feel like sometimes if you have to go off stage for a break and you have a minute to like stand or you're changing a costume, like you're kind of, I'm, at least me, like I'm out of it almost instantly.
Yeah.
Like I leave the stage and I'm like, fuck, I have to do this costume change, or I have to do this whatever. And you have a second to kind of like breathe. This is like, there's no time. You
no,
just have to
yeah.
keep moving.
The show starts and it ends.
It makes it kind of easier to like propel myself into it. But we also, because I knew that we weren't ever going to leave the stage, I finally had to kind of start to map out like, okay, I think that I could take a water break here. Mm-hmm. And I think this is another part. Like there were two points in Act One where I knew I had to have water. And I told them that. I was like, I need it here and I need it there. Otherwise, I think I can make it. And they were like, great, so we'll just do this. Like, we had to build them in. And in Act Two, we only have one.
Mm.
Do you have any?
I have two.
One.
But one of them is...
We have some nice blue water that they throw at your face.
It's paint.
Just drink that in. Yeah,
isn't that
no,
wild?
It's paint. It's in my nose and eyes and ears and
gosh,
mouth.
Well, you had you seen a Jamie Lloyd production before this?
No.
Okay.
No,
well,
but he...
There you go.
He told me... The problem was, is rehearsing with Jamie, he'll like joke about things and he would like be like, and there's going to be
serious.
Fire and there's going to be, and we would like, he says it and you're like,
ha ha ha.
And he's
then,
like
then
laughing.
He just
and
walks away.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is that
wait,
actually,
oh, you were,
we're like, oh, that's,
oh, there's
fire.
Oh, there's actually
oh, okay, cool.
fire. Oh, okay. Okay.
Or he would be like, and you're going to start over here laying on the ground and it'd be like, okay, why? And he'd just say, it's a surprise. And then
oh yeah.
That's it. And we were like, okay, cool. But we also did the show out of order. Like, we didn't start at the beginning, I feel like. Like,
yeah.
We kind of did, but, like, in terms of choreography, we would do one thing in one room, and the ensemble would do a number in another room,
right.
And we would kind of hop around, and
yeah.
then... So for a little bit, I felt like stuff didn't make sense, and then
yeah.
we would put it together and be like, okay.
Well,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
also because he constantly, you know, lets his inspiration drive him. So he would get an idea about something, so we'd drop into somewhere in the show and completely change it and then jump out. And Sam and I would be like, but how did that connect? Where? How? Okay. You know, and it wasn't until kind of we're up and
tech
have
week.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, tech week or days because we got rained out.
Yeah.
But that was the other thing. The tech process happened so smoothly.
It was, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, the only challenge was the rain. I felt like beyond that, and that's crazy because this is a crazy
yes.
production.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
crazy production
yes.
elements going on.
Well,
did they surprise you
yeah.
as much as they do the audience when they first happened?
I think by the time we got to tech, I was literally prepared for anything.
Okay.
I was like Jamie kept joking about all of these things and like was also like not ever very clear that I was like, okay, there's fire. Okay,
yeah.
I'm getting covered in paint. Okay, where, you know, anything goes. Yeah.
Tar and feathered with confetti.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, sure.
You know, right. And there was a long time I didn't know, like, we found it, turned it into tar and feathering, you know, and found the visceral element of it.
What
I think
that, means.
Yeah, there was kind of the symbolic nature of it, but then we found the layers. Because when we were testing it, it didn't, I was like, oh, okay, so we're symbolically going there, but then when we were doing it, he was like, I want it grounded in the reality of what's happening to you, you know, so I want you to drop in and go there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is extreme.
It would be, I don't want to kind of chat without talking about one of the things that astonished me, not astonished me, I was so happy to see, like the diversity on stage in this production.
Oh,
it
was
better than any production I've seen for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, it's people from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh my God, this is London, you know? And
because
that's, I love London, you know? Is that something that you can feel back from the audience as well? Like, just the fact that you're in here, you know, this is a truly representative. I mean, you guys are American, you got representation from all over the world, and Puerto Rico, and London, and, you know, rest of Europe, and...
I'm not certain that I experienced it from the audience.
Yeah.
I knew day one, I walked in, and I was like, this is a special room.
Mm.
We looked around, I saw the headshot sheet, I saw everyone, and I was like... Jamie Lloyd, Fabian Alois, bravo.
Yeah.
You have put together a rainbow cast of epic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Epic diversity.
Mm. Although I will say, like, random people that I will see or, like, meet after the show, that's, people comment on that a lot, that it's just very diverse.
Yeah, I just hear that it's a beautiful cast, which I agree. It's a
beautiful cast. It is. It's beautiful. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Lastly, just take me through what it's like being in London. You mean you've done the show, you've performed in the States. You notice any kind of change in audience, or I mean, you're outside. That's kind of a given. But you know, you've come over to a new playground. You've been here before, Trent, but you've come to a new playground. What's it been like for you coming to London? I know when I got on stage the first time in London, I was like, oh my God, that's my trip. I've done it.
Yeah.
And then like, okay, what next? I've not performed in New York. That'll happen, I'm sure, at some point. But what's it like for you guys coming over, you know, and playing on this playground here?
It's fun. It's kind of surreal, I feel like. I don't know. I felt like when we first started performances, I kind of had a moment that was like, oh, this is like happening. It kind of hit me then. It hit me when Andrew Lloyd Webber came to see the show. I broke down crying, not because I was nervous, but I was like, oh my God, I just can't believe that this is actually happening and he's really here. Like, it's just, it's not something that because I love this show so much and it's very special to me, never did I ever think that I would be doing it here, that I would be brought from the U.S. just to come over here and do it is still kind of like, what?
No.
But I love it. Everybody is so nice. Everybody from day one in the cat. I don't know. I guess what I was afraid of is that, like, coming over here and having people be like, well, why are they here?
Yeah.
Like, why did they have to bring people from somewhere else? Mm-hmm. But
said no one ever.
Said no one.
You opened your mouth
and
everyone's
great,
like, oh, that's why.
No, but like, but just from day one, everybody was so sweet and so welcoming and really nice and lovely. And I just feel like I've felt that way with everybody here from the beginning.
I'm not certain that I'm getting a particularly London experience because I eat, breathe, sleep this.
Mm. Like, yeah, we feel like we don't really do a lot.
We don't like, Sam and I have had many conversations this week just handling the taxing nature of what it is, you know, and you ask about the technique on the stage.
Yeah.
That none of that is really the focus. The focus for me is how I get my body and my vessel and keep it in order enough to do it eight shows a week.
Yeah.
And nine when they're having us do two 9-show weeks in a row, you know.
I didn't do that.
I did one, and then I tried to make it through the second one, and then I crashed into the ground. It was
no shame in that.
It's no, no. It was. We both had to talk the other one down and be like, What we're doing is ridiculous.
Like, it's okay to be a human. Sit down. And, like, if you need a day, it's okay to rest.
It really is okay.
You can do that. We're like screaming and crying on stage every night. It's okay.
Yeah, guys, thank you. It's your call to go kind of warm up. I think Shane's there. Thank you so much for
Thank you. Congratulations.
Have you too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, while Trent and Samantha were tangoing on stage, I had the opportunity to have a quick chat with Hector Rivera, who plays Juan Perón in this production, before he had to pop back onto stage. Now, his journey here to London was also pretty circuitous, but you could absolutely tell why he was chosen to play this role. He embodies Juan Perón and goes on to explain as to why this production is so special to him.
You come from New York. You're from Puerto Rico, right?
From Puerto Rico. I moved to Los Angeles like 6 years ago to look for opportunities in outside Puerto Rico. I made my life basically in Puerto Rico, born and raised all my life, do my musicals and everything that I dreamed to do. Yeah. I did it in Puerto Rico, so I needed to do something else. So I moved to LA to work in LA, but I end in New York working in On Your Feet,
in
the show on Broadway. So that was like my big opportunity, and it was in New York. And then after New York, I moved to Miami and LA again, and this is the first time actually that I'm here in London. So so we're talking about like the experiences, and I'm that kind of person that love to experience things alive. And so I just embrace this.
It's amazing. It's such, wow. Man, what I love about this show, this production. I mean, I love the show anyway. I've seen it a few times before. In this country, I've seen it. Well, I saw it once in America, once in the UK. But I love this production, man, because it just feels like I'm watching, like, a representative, slight cross section of the world right now. And like, I love the diversity of this cast. Like, for me, I was just like, thank God, finally, you know. And but talking to you, all your compatriots, man, it's a real family.
Like, absolutely,
this is an amazing cast, man. What's it like coming from LA, Miami, Puerto Rico, New York, coming over, like having just been on Your Feet, which is a big success, you know, Broadway, and what's it been like coming here?
Here, I didn't have any expectation because it's the first time that I was actually here in the country, so I didn't know how was the people, how was it, the acting world and everything. But from the first day, I received so many love from every single part because it's like you said, it's a multicultural thing with people from Malta, from Africa, from Scotland.
Yeah.
And then I find myself in a place where everybody's like something to give to the production. And Jamie Lloyd, as a director, he's so open to work with him, make us to make proposals, and based on our proposals, then he directs. So that was something beautiful to work with him, this work. So. But yeah, so I felt really loved and still. That's why we get a great connection from the first week.
Yeah, and it's a really good thing because everyone's telling a story on stage. Because there's no props, there are props, but because there's no massive costumes, because it's really a fantastic opportunity to tell the story of Evita. Not just the musical of Evita, but the story of Evita.
The story, absolutely.
Yeah. So that, can you tell me what that was like, being able to just, this is stripped back. Isn't it?
You know what is interesting in my case is that when we were rehearsing A New Argentina, in Puerto Rico we have like a situation with our governor, and it was the first time that a governor made like a really disfortunate commentaries, homophobic things, like a corruption against the women. It was like a public chat that came out. So the public of Puerto Rico, for the first time, I think in a long time, millions went out to the street to ask to get rid of this governor. So the power of Puerto Rico, while I'm doing A New Argentina, we're having a new Puerto Rico in my country. So after the rehearsals, I go to my home, I look at the news, I look at all the people with Puerto Rican flags fighting for their rights, and it was so beautiful. So what you said of telling a story, each one of us have a story, different story, personal stories, family stories. In my case, I was telling Argentina story, but at the same time, a new Puerto Rico that I had in my country with my family over there. So it was so beautiful to make that connection and give my heart in every single rehearsal process, because I was giving my heart to Puerto Rico.
How cool is that?
Yeah,
that's so good. That's so cool.
I saw the show 3 times: one in Broadway, in Argentina, and in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
And I would love to be part of the audience to see this proposal. You know,
let me tell you, I absolutely enjoyed it. Because I've seen, like I said, it was the first time that I've seen it. Telling I'm glad I have the opportunity to tell you too. It's the first time that the story, that I saw so much more of the story of Perón, of Eva, of Che. Like, before it was all, in the two shows that I saw, so many walls were the way, in the makeup, yeah, and the hair, and the jewelry, and the costumes,
exactly,
and everything got in the way. People would dance in front of me, like, here it is, like, here's the story.
Here's the story, here's the deepest and more extremes. In case of my character that I'm working, obviously, I never work in an extreme part of the emotional part, of the psychological part of a leader that is still charismatic and everything, and gain like a whole country, but still have the most darkness places in his heart. And when we're talking about cruelty, we're talking about the sadism, the sex, and everything. And that is the reality of the story of Perón and Argentina. Yeah. So to put that outside and bring the audience to open the mind of Perón and Eva and Che is a beautiful thing. It's honest, it's bold, it's like, it's not jewelry and everything. It's just a story as it is. So
yeah, perfect.
I'm proud.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Samantha Pauly, Trent Saunders, and Hector Rivera from Regent's Park Open Air Theater's production of Evita, which runs through this Saturday, the 23rd of September. If you have a chance to catch it, go. Now, before I go, just a few housekeeping notes. If you are a theater professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. Follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. And you can follow me at John Schwab, J-O-H-N-S-C-H-W-A-B. We'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. Get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. Now, it just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Hector Rivera, Trent Saunders, Samantha Pauly, and the entire company of Evita at the Open Air Theater. As I said, the show finishes this Saturday, the 23rd of September, but I have a feeling we might just see it again sooner rather than later. Thanks for listening to the Curtain Call Theater podcast, and I will catch you a little later this week with more from Evita. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.